go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 71 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. Where shall I direct my ire this episode? Maybe I should have thought of something before I pressed record button on the camera. I saw that Gladiator 2, a sequel to The Gladiator, is coming out. Gladiator, a fantastic film. Actually, I don't really know what my thoughts are on the sequel that's coming out pretty soon. Many things, actually, but when a film comes out and we say, oh, it flops, that film sucks. As an artist or a perceived someone who I like to call myself an artist, whether I am or not, I'll let you decide, all 8, 10 listeners, viewers of this. But just being in the position where a film is made, where a real film company puts money into whatever script you write, whatever acting you're doing, and you get paid to make a movie that you conjured up in your head, that is a success. So to say that movie sucked, and maybe it did, but it's still an amazing feat that happened. The actual making of a movie, even if it does flop at the box office and it goes straight to streaming service, I guess that's what happens now to bad films, but you know, just a movie that doesn't recoup all the money that went into it, or it isn't critically acclaimed, or doesn't become a cult classic. You know, it's not to say, oh yeah, just that sucked, terrible film. But the people's hearts and souls went into making that, even if it was a Looney Tune, a forgettable film. So I'm trying to catch myself when I say, oh, that movie's going to suck, or it was terrible, or yeah, don't go see it. I'm trying to be more positive. Look at that, the B-Man, trying to be more, think more positively about the world and the art that's in it. Even though most of the art today, modern art, go to an art gallery and says so much about, if you look at art today and architecture, it says so much about our culture. I've really been trying, it's been brought to my attention on X, some accounts have been saying, just, the culture is crumbling, and if you look at the art and the architecture, it's so bland that there's nothing about architecture today that's inspiring. You can look at some of those great churches in Europe and around the world, whether you're religious or not, you could see the outside of them, and you could see the passion, the years, the craftsmanship that went into making those structures. That there's something about that, those churches and those awe-inspiring buildings that's inspiring to the human spirit. And that says something about of the time period in which those were made. And that is something we're lacking today. But that's not where I want to go with the ire for this episode. Back to Gladiator. My ire this episode and forever going forward is the Roman Colosseum, the actual ancient Roman Colosseum is the most overrated stadium in the entire world that has ever existed. Let me explain. Let me defend my argument for you for the next minute, two, maybe three, depending on how passionate I am about this one. You spend a week, right? You're going to go to Rome. Maybe you're doing a tour around Europe. You're spending 3 weeks in Europe. You're spending thousands of dollars. You worked extra shifts at the restaurant. You're going, man, there's a bug right by my light that's going to bother me. Focus, Brian. Focus. Do not have a dog mind. All right. Hey, you know what I'm getting at. You work extra. You work overtime. You just put away money to save for this awesome vacation around Europe. And you spend a day to go to the Roman Colosseum. Is that Colosseum, it's not any better than any Colosseum or arena or stadium in the United States of America. And I quote the United States because that's where I reside. But you go to the Yankee Stadium, you go to any football stadium in the United States, that's American football, any baseball stadium, any outdoor music theater, literally California, New York, there's probably 10 stadiums that are more awe-inspiring than the Roman Colosseum, the ancient Roman Colosseum. Seats more people, has better concourse space, has luxury suites, has better upkeep. You name it, almost every stadium in the United States is more impressive in every regard than the Roman Colosseum is. Oh, big deal, the Roman Colosseum. So they have some lions fight humans to the death. Does that make it better than the huge SoFi Stadium in LA, or what's the one in Texas, Jerry Jones, the huge TV? There's no TVs. There's no TVs in the Roman Colosseum, is there? No, there's no big screen. So if you're in a nosebleed seats in the Roman Colosseum, you're just a poor peasant watching episodes of Verbal Graffiti for free in ancient Rome. So you're up in the nosebleeds. You can barely see what peasant person is being killed by a lion down on the dirt, on the ground. But then there's no TV. There's no big board where you can actually see what's happening. What were they eating? What were they eating at the Roman Colosseum? Okay, I go to Yankee Stadium. I can get steak. I can get a hot sausage. I can get a bucket of chicken and fries. I can get domestic beer. You get nothing. Nothing in the Colosseum. It's falling apart. It's decrepit. So there was an irrigation system underneath it. Like, yeah, I could flush a toilet in every stadium in the United States, and I have been able to do so for the past 150 years. Thank you very much. Fuck you, Roman Colosseum. There's just nothing about the Colosseum that would make me want to get on a plane that probably costs $1,200, stay in some hotel in Rome that's not air-conditioned, and stand in line for 2.5 hours in the sweltering heat to walk up to a Colosseum that's like half falling apart and was probably already rebuilt, so it's not like the original Colosseum. Like, if I'm going to pay all that money and put all that manpower and take that time off, use my PTO days to go to the ancient Roman Colosseum, I actually want to see a fight between a human being and a tiger or a lion or whatever creatures they were using. And just to see the architecture, the actual Colosseum, that doesn't do it for me. A big deal. Big deal. So I'm 2,000 years late to the action. That's all you're telling me. It's like, all right, I'm outside the Colosseum. I go inside. Where's the fight? Where's the fight to the death? Where's Kurt Russell inspiring those peasants to fight? Where the thumb is up, down? Like, where is all that? Oh, that happened 2,500 years ago. I'm late to the dance. Oh, fuck. Why did I just spend $3,000 to come here then? It's not impressive to me. I could go on and on with this soliloquy of my ire towards the Roman Colosseum. But I've never been to Europe, but if I ever go, the Colosseum will not be something on my itinerary to see. Let's move forward. All right, let's talk about something more current, unlike the Roman Colosseum. It comes from the subreddit Infidelity. Oh boy, is this considered cheating? I checked my boyfriend's phone for the first time in almost 2 years of dating. I found out he has a fake Instagram, fake name, no pics, etc. account that follows 4 people he's dated, slept with. He messaged his ex-girlfriend from this account with, quote, "You're so beautiful," a year into our relationship. He also messaged his ex-sister something random, which makes me think this whole account is a joke. It is not a joke, but we'll get to that. 7 months into our relationship, he screenshot pictures from Instagram and put them in My Eyes Only, which has nude pictures from their previous relationship. He has also saved several of his ex-girlfriend's recent pics and commented on her photos with, quote, "so hot," from the same fake account. Also, how do I go about this without saying I looked at his phone? Ice emoji. Edit. Forgot to mention we've done long distance most of the time. And another edit. The ex doesn't communicate back. Another edit. The ex doesn't communicate back or no, it's him. Sweetheart, you're asking all the wrong questions. The question, let me answer your question with a question for yourself. Why are you dating this loser? And he is a loser. So he makes this fake no picture account and he's messaging his ex-lovers with such banal messages. You're cute. You're beautiful. You're so hot. Like I, the B-man, I catcall baddies on the street with such more conviction than your boyfriend is doing with his ex-lovers. The fact that he gives such bland messages with this fake account makes me think that he has such a boring, wet blanket, bleh, personality. I am shocked that he has 4 ex-lovers that would allow him to give him consent to put his goo, that semen of his, into her body, to 4 different bodies before he met you. I question whether he even had these girlfriends to begin with or not, but you say he does, so okay, we'll play that game and say he does. Is it cheating? Before we get to the if is it cheating or not and how you should proceed forward, we have to talk about, or I have to talk about, since I guess I am the only one doing talking here at Verbal Graffiti, although we do have a big team behind the scenes. Thank you for all the help. Thank you very much. The thing we have to level here is keeping nudies, photos, and videos of your exes, is that allowed? Is that permitted in today? Yes, absolutely. If you take a picture of your, or your, if you take a picture of your, or your girlfriend or boyfriend sends you a picture of a nudie, in a front, back, whether it's a photo or a video or a sex act or whatever act it may be. If you send that to me or I take a picture of that with your consent, I'm keeping that forever. Okay. I have a file on my phone that's called filth. It goes directly into that and it stays there forever. Now, if you break up with me, because generally I'm the one who, hey, like we were together for 2 months and I'm peacing out because you won't commit. And then you reach out to me afterwards and go, hey, remember that slutty thing I did for you that was on film and I let you take it? And I go, oh, yeah, of course. And then when she comes back at me, like, hey, can you please delete that? You know, we're not together anymore, so I don't feel comfortable with you having it. Now, I will acquiesce that request, but do know, I'm lying to you when I say I'm going to delete it. No, I'm keeping it in that filth file to go back to reminisce when I'm lonely and kind of, sometimes I go to that filth file to, it's a confidence booster. Cause sometimes you get in a slump and I'll look at my filth folder and go, oh yeah, I've pulled every now and then. I'm capable of doing this. It's more so that than, my wanking off to it, which I also do that as well. Heck, I have a drawer filled with thongs and undies of a past lovers of mine. As you may know, I have mentioned before that I am a panty sniffer. So if I take your panties, I'm holding on to those. You know, call me Genghis Khan if you want, but that's what I do. If I get a nudie or a undergarment from you, I'm keeping it forever as a keepsake, similar to a receiver keeping his touchdowns. After every touchdown catch, he keeps the ball. That's what I do, and that's what we all do with photos and videos and undergarments of past, past partners that have come and gone. So it is completely above board, legal in our judgment here at Verbal Graffiti for your boyfriend to have. A folder, with the smut of all girlfriends from the past. That's okay. There's nothing cheating about that. Honestly, when I go on a date, the first questions I ask of the babe is, "Do you swallow?" And then my follow up question is, "How many dick photos do you have on your phone right now?" Those are my two opening questions when I go on a date, because I just assume if I'm out with a babe and she's a babe, She probably has a number of dick photos and maybe even something more foul on her phone. So I just want to know, what am I playing with right here? Like, are we talking a handful? Or are we talking, do you have dozens, hundreds worth? Can we line up the number of dicks you have on your phone from here all the way to the Roman Coliseum? Call back. Thank you very much, B-Man. So that, we just got to get that all the way. Like, him having that smut, that's okay on his phone. I don't consider that to be cheating. Now, you should go back to me. Hey, if you're going to have a stash, can you have a better file name than My Eyes Only? Can you be something a little bit more discreet than that? That's this guy's going to get caught many, many times in his lifetime, because this relationship is going to end very soon. Now, for him reaching out to his ex, he's not doing this for shits and giggles. He's doing this because he wants to get freaky with them, because you two are in a long-distance relationship. So he is trying to cheat on you. He is trying to cheat on you with his exes. What should concern you more as his long-distance girlfriend is that he does not have the game, does not have the riz enough to be able to cheat on you. That's his predicament. His predicament is, which is almost even worse than cheating on you. Like, yeah, you don't want to be cheated on, but what's even worse than that is having a partner who wants to cheat on you but doesn't have the capability to do so because he doesn't have enough game to pull off another woman's panties. So that's the situation you're in right now. Like, your boyfriend wants to cheat on you. He does not have enough game to do so. So he's making these weak attempts at his ex-lovers to try to reel them back in. And as for the ex-lover's sister, he's trying to fuck the sister. So he's just trying to fuck anybody and everybody, but he doesn't have enough to get it done. So do know that. Do know that. So yes, he hasn't cheated on you. He wants to cheat on you. He hasn't cheated on you. He wants to cheat on you. As for the whole phone that you looked at his phone, tell him the truth. Say you looked at his phone. We live in the 21st century. All our information is on the phone. If I'm with somebody, here's my phone. I have a filth folder. I have you can look through my search history. I watch a lot of porn, a lot of smut. Like, I'm very open with my smuttiness, my pervertedness. So, like, I'm not really hiding anything. Like, I let China and every U.S. corporation, they're following everything I look at 24/7. So to be angry that someone I'm interested in looks at my phone, that doesn't level. That's ridiculous. So you shouldn't get angry when your lover is snooping through your phone. Because if you lie to him about how you found out this information, then you're as bad as your long distance boyfriend is. The whole argument is built on lies. So this means, yeah, I looked at your phone. I know you may be angry at me for being a snoop, but I did snoop, and I looked through your DMs, and what the fuck is going on with these fake accounts and these weak-ass attempts to try to get with your ex-lovers? That's what you should do. So, yeah, break up with this guy. Let's go look at some photos. I don't know what to do with my hands. I'm always, at the beginning of every segment, boom, boom, boom. I'm always moving my hands. I'm a very touchy, touchy guy. My love language is a physical touch. So is my friendship language is physical touch. I did not realize this till my junior year of college at University of Connecticut. That's right, I'm a college graduate. I was there junior year in the dorms, still lived in the dorms at that point. Our neighbor, I'm not really sure what we were doing, but I'm assumed it involved drinking, and I touched him, and that's when it's like, hey, Brian, you know you touch me a lot. You touch people too much. And I took stock of what he said. I was like, oh, yeah, he's correct. I am a touchy, touchy guy. I need to refrain from doing that. So I've since then, which was many, many years ago, I have refrained from being as touchy a person I am with my friends. And when I say touchy, it's not, you know, it's not like anal sex. It's more like, hey, but more than a handshake and a hug. It's like a always patting, always prodding. And I think part of the reason may be my OCD. Again, I've mentioned I have OCD. I really haven't gone into detail because it's such it's like shock and awe how much my OCD controls my life and how much I've given into it over the years. It does deserve its own episode. We'll get to that. But yeah, touchy-touchy. What am I getting with this touchy-touchy? Oh, yeah. As I move my hands a lot again, did something big this year. This week, it made a big step forward. But again, I don't need to share every personal thing I do with all of you. Some things I do, I can share with myself and the babes and Johns behind me on this wall, on this backdrop here. Hey, if we get 100 subscribers, maybe I will share this private information with all of you. That's what we in the podcasting world call a tease. Let's move on. This next one, it's juicier than the first segment. So let's get into this one. Why tease you guys any longer if I can open it up? Okay. Comes from the subreddit adultery. I notice a theme this episode. Okay. From the subreddit adultery. Do I actually enjoy this lifestyle? ? Me and my AP, I'm going to assume that stands for adultery partner, ended everything many months ago. It was for the best and we're good still friends. And I'm single. Recently, I've made the decision to put myself out there and potentially start a relationship. However, it's not going as planned. The dates are great, but I feel overwhelmed by the idea of being a girlfriend. I get home feeling so heavy and anxious, even if I had a great time. Maybe this is not right for me. I feel you with that. I was hoping to be happier now that I'm doing things correctly, but I'm not. I was happier when I was the other woman. It was exciting, and the way my AP made me feel, no one else can do it, which is a bit frustrating. Each time things start to get a little serious, I lose interest. Why is this happening? Do I have a commitment problem? Do I actually enjoy this lifestyle, even though I know it's a terrible situation to be in? Yes, I believe you do enjoy the lifestyle of being the side piece, shall I say, the whore. You love it. You love it. And you should not be ashamed. Don't feel guilt about yourself for being the side piece, for being the whore, as I said. The reason why, look at Marilyn Monroe, okay? Marilyn Monroe. There are millions of Americans and young women across the globe who idolize Marilyn Monroe. There's a lady I know who owns a bar dedicated to Marilyn Monroe. The bar is called Hot Rods. It's in Middletown, Connecticut. You walk inside, it's all red, and on all the walls are posters and pictures and photographs of Marilyn Monroe and the men she's been with. And you got to think about Marilyn Monroe and who she is at her core. At Marilyn Monroe's core, Marilyn Monroe is a whore. She is a homewrecker. She is a slut. She is a going behind another woman to get his man. And not just any man, the elite men of her time, of her generation. We're talking about Joey D., Joe DiMaggio. We're talking about JFK, John F. Kennedy. Do not know what the F stands for. As a history major, I should know, but I don't know. We're talking about this image. If you're an American, this is one of the most Americana images, is Marilyn Monroe being a slut and cheating with John F. K. We all know the scene. She pops out of a full-size fake birthday cake, and she's dressed with her boobs hanging out. She looks like an enhanced Japanese hooker, and she's doing this while JFK is there, dressed to the nines, with his wife, the first lady, Jackie Kennedy. She's by his side, stroking his knee on his thigh, and Marilyn Monroe is right in front of her, right in front of the two of them, going, "Hey, I fuck your husband. You may be the first lady, but I am the first slut of America." And now, 50, 60 years later, Marilyn Monroe is an American icon for all women in this country. So what I'm getting at here is, do not be ashamed for who you are. And what you are is a side piece. And there isn't. Let me ask you this. Is there anything, morally, yes, it may be wrong to be the side piece, to be having sex with another married man, a man who's married to another woman. But if you're able to get past the morality of doing so, everything else about it, about being a side piece, is lovely. And I keep banging this point home in Verbal Graffiti, but being a side piece, if you're okay with it, is all gravy. You're Gucci, you're 100%. It's the best of the two. Which would you rather be? The side piece or the wife that's getting cheated on? I'd rather be the side piece. You rather be the side piece. So I side with you. It's the best. You get the guy, you get the passion. It's like there's a reason why nobody wants to fuck the nice guy. It's because he's nice, because it's boring, it's bland. There's no excitement to it. There's nothing, there's no taboo. Look at all this erotic literature behind me. It's all based on taboo. There's a reason why teachers fuck their students. There's a reason why subordinates fuck their bosses. It's because it's not allowed. As soon as someone tells you, "Hey, you're not allowed to have sex with this person," immediately your mind, you say, "Oh, that's not allowed. That's taboo. I want to have sex with that person." Again, it's why in prison, it's why the patrol officers in prison, they're correctional officers. It's why they always get caught having sex with the inmates, because it's not allowed. It's taboo. That's what makes the sex hot, passionate, the thrill that gives you the dopamine rush. And you see, every failed endeavor is a learning experience. And what you've learned through your previous adultery relationship is that you like all of these feelings, the dopamine rush, the taboo, the danger of it all. Like that's what excites you. That's what gives your pussy the tingles. Not going on a bumble date where the guy's treating you nice. Like, you like being treated like a whore. Oddly enough, oddly enough, having a guy who his only interest is using your holes, that's what gives you fulfillment, not the flowers and the puppy eyes and somebody treating you nice. You like to be treated like a fuck doll. That's what you like, which is okay. Which is okay. I admire that you're getting to a point in your life, in your adulthood, in your personhood, where you're realizing, oh, I want to be the side piece. And now the only question for you now is, how do you morally allow yourself just to go full throttle side piece? Because your history tells me you have the mental makeup to be a successful side piece. See, because I say this because you were having sex with a married man and you had, this was ongoing. So you were the married man's side piece. You were okay with that. And when you decided, okay, I need to put the kibosh on this. We had enough. It's time for me to move on and try to be, you know, try to live life above board, being a non-cheating whore, that you moved on. But you didn't become a homewrecker. And that's the key component. So you were a whore, but you didn't convert yourself into a homewrecker. And in the age in which we all live now, the age of social media, to be a whore and not wreck the family that you're whoring with, that you're a diamond in the rough. It's very rare to be the type of whore side piece that you are. You should realize that you are in high, high demand right now, because there are so many side pieces who blow up a guy's spot and the marriage goes kaput and then he only gets to see his kids every other weekend. You're not like that. You're just in it for, you know, you're in it to get your holes filled, and then you move on, and you're not trying to wreck the family. So you know who you are, and I want to let you know, it's not just you and Marilyn Monroe. It's not the two of you versus every woman in the world. You know, you go to a brothel, you go to a strip club, you go to a rub and tug, you go find a street hooker, you go find escort service. Not all these women work in there. Not all of them are human trafficking, sex slaves. Some of the women there who do those jobs love what they do because they're a whore. They love whoring out to other men. And that's who you are. You're just one of, you know, it's like I said last episode, don't hate the player, hate the game. You just love the game. You love the side. You love being the piece. You love being the whore. That's commendable. And the fact that you know this, you need to go into the deep, dive headfirst into the deep end, into your whoriness, and only be the side piece for married men. So enough with this dating and going on like real dates where you're seen in public. What you need to do is start searching out, go on Instagram, start looking for real handsome guys who have nauseating family photos and stories all the time. Look for those guys, slide into their DM with your pussy, and be his side piece. Because, you know, plenty of guys will say, hey, I don't want to cheat on my wife. I never will. Until a hot baby like yourself, who knows how to keep her mouth shut and her legs open, becomes available. So that's what you know who you are. Now it's time for you to go out there and continue living the life you love to live. And for all of us here at Verbal Graffiti, we're happy that you've come to this conclusion that, hey, this is who you are. You're the side piece. Good for you. You're better than Marilyn Monroe. I'll tell you that. Better than Marilyn Monroe. If only we could have your name and your picture, we'd put you up here at Verbal Graffiti. We'd make you famous, doll. We'd make you famous. All right. We got to go on to, again, a salesman's wife. We're going to continue reading it till we get to the back page. We are now on, if you are reading along, we are on page 9, first paragraph down. Baby, he moaned. Baby, I want you so bad. His hand slipped down now over the soft, trembling plane of her stomach until it reached the pink bikini panties. His fingers slowly found their way past the tight, elastic waistband and into the curly tangle of her pubic hair. Pamela tried to relax and let her husband's roving hand freely explore her most private parts, yet deep within, a raging turmoil had begun that made her almost cry out with anguish as his finger teased the quivering folds of her vaginal slit. Instead, she bit her lip and held him tighter. Alan let his fingers glide up and down the soft flesh, hoping that his gentle activity would trigger her feminine lubrication to moisten her pussy. Finding the tiny nub of her clitoris, he began to massage it, kneading just the right spot until it began to harden involuntarily, like a little penis. With growing urgency, he began to twist the little hardened bud, hoping to rouse his wife into a fever of desire match his own. He was vividly aware of the sexual difficulties between them, and although it had been quite frustrating for him when she lay impassively beneath him night after night until he had his orgasm, he had promised himself to take great care of her until she got over her fear. After all, he reminded himself, I've been away a lot, and she's so innocent. She, since he was the more experienced of the two, he had assumed that it was his duty to be patient until she had matured sexually. Of course, it had been quite difficult at times, and day by day, he felt his deeper, more savage drives were being dangerously repressed because of his wife's problems. Yet, despite his pressing needs he knew were vital to his masculine ego, he had been gentle and understanding with her. Slowly, his middle finger found the tight, puckered entrance of her pussy, and he was delighted to discover it was slightly moist. With great care, he began to probe into a conditioned passage, widening it, increasing the lubrication. As he did, Pamela found herself becoming tense, and involuntarily, her vaginal passage began to tighten again and resist his insinuating finger. Her legs drew closer together, almost clamping his hand between those white, firm columns. Alan sensed her anxiety and relaxed, trying to penetrate her slowly. His love play had caused his thick, lengthy penis to stiffen with lust, and his loins were warm and aching with desire. He wanted her tonight, wanted to screw his wife like a stallion mounting a mare and cry out in triumph with his release. Go suck a fat one.